Welcome to The Disappearing Mind, a unique podcast helping you find clarity and support along your dementia journey. Now, join National Dementia Trainer and Coach, Dawn Platt, for an all-new episode.
My name is Dawn Platt, and I'm your host today. Thank you for joining me on the podcast today. In the studio today, it's just me. We're going to have some conversations, several conversations, around some statistics, as well as some famous people who have Alzheimer's disease or other dementias. And then we're going to just talk about some stories of people with Alzheimer's and dementia. So I'm glad you joined me today. We have lots to talk about. So let's go ahead and get started. The Alzheimer's statistics for 2023 are pretty telling. They're pretty interesting. And remember, I said Alzheimer's disease statistics. 6.7 million Americans age 65 and older have Alzheimer's disease. That's a staggering number when you consider all the other diseases that we face as Americans. 1 in 9 Americans age 65 and older have Alzheimer's disease. And about two-thirds of Americans with Alzheimer's are women. So ladies, the majority is really ours. That's kind of a frightening number when you really think about it. So Black Americans are 2 times as likely to have Alzheimer's or other dementias as whites or Caucasians. And I think that the reason for that is really the cardiovascular disease or hypertension, chronic type diseases that occlude the blood flow. Latinos are 1.5 times as likely to have Alzheimer's or other dementias as whites or Caucasians. And by the year 2050, the number of people age 65 and older with Alzheimer's is projected to grow to 12.7 million. This term, Alzheimer's or dementia, is really a household name. It's very rare that any of us, no matter how young or old, don't know somebody, have a family member, have a friend who has it. A relative who is impacted by dementia of some sort. As we talk about this, I just want to encourage you and say that we're learning more and more about the disease, about the process. There's more and more information out there. Some of the things I've been really thinking about and I want to put together for the podcast, I want to do some interviews. I wanted to kind of look at the diversity's assistance or financial aid that may or may not be available to you as a family member. We're going to talk about, does Medicare cover? What is Medicaid and what are the qualifications for that? So those are some of the things. In addition to, I want to interview some care options. What are other care options that you might want to consider in the future? So that would include things like home health care, adult daycare programs, as well as some private agencies that might be able to assist you. So lots coming on the podcast. Today, I wanted to talk about a very famous person who we know has recently passed away and talk about a little bit about their death and their association with Alzheimer's and dementia. The Alzheimer's Association put out a press release and mourns the death of legendary singer Tony Bennett. Just when you think that you're alone or as many people don't have Alzheimer's disease as perhaps you thought, here we have a very famous person. And for all the seniors out there, someone that we all knew and loved who has died of Alzheimer's disease. So let me read you this press release because I want to talk about the importance of knowing and understanding and the impact that people can have on furthering research as well as awareness of things like Alzheimer's disease. This was in Chicago on July 21st. The Alzheimer's Association is deeply saddened by the death of legendary singer Tony Bennett. Following his diagnosis, Tony Bennett was an incredible advocate for the cause, sharing his story very publicly to reduce stigma and elevate the conversation on behalf of millions of families facing the disease. Bennett and his family bravely revealed his Alzheimer's diagnosis in February of 2021. 6 months later, he took to the stage for his final performance at Radio City Music Hall alongside friend and collaborator Lady Gaga. The pair then recorded a public service announcement to help better educate and inform people about the disease. Over the next several years, Bennett regularly partnered with the Alzheimer's Association to raise funds and encourage more awareness about the disease. The Alzheimer's Association joins the world in mourning the loss of Tony Bennett, a great friend and champion of the cause. For decades, Tony inspired the world with his music, and after being diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease, he continued to use that powerful voice to make a very real difference in inspiring action and change. This is just an amazing story. A legendary singer, Tony Bennett, has been impacted by this disease, and not only impacted, but has done something about it. One of the things I think is so important, and one of the things about the podcast I find so powerful, is that the more we talk about these kind of things, the more that we can get the word out, educate, and advocate so that we can find a cure. Not only the Alzheimer's Association, but there's a group called Us Against Alzheimer's. And I would love to get the chairperson and co-founder on the show to really talk about people's stories. And you may not be a Tony Bennett, but your story is powerful and your story makes a difference to others. That's what the podcast is all about. People who have some sort of dementia, even preclinical dementia, all the way up to the point where they pass away. When we talk about these things, we really learn more and we expose people to the knowledge so that we can educate and really do more to find a cure through fundraising and research, like with the Alzheimer's Association. So very powerful stuff. But Us Against Alzheimer's chair and co-founder George Brandenburg released the following statement on the death of music legend and Alzheimer's champion Tony Bennett. Tony Bennett's legendary career has left an indelible mark on the music world. But in sharing his personal story, he also made a difference in the Alzheimer's world. Mr. Bennett and his family bravely shared with the world their experience of living with Alzheimer's, raising awareness of this deadly disease, and in a way few can in hopes of helping others. We are tremendously grateful for that as we mourn the loss of one of the world's greatest people. With that, your story is important. It's important to us here at the podcast, and it's important to others. I just encourage you today. You are important. Your life is important, and taking care of yourself and those that you love is important. Continue to listen to the podcast. Let us know what kind of topics you want to know about and hear about, and we'll see if we can't help you in your dementia journey. We know that we've talked about on the podcast that Alzheimer's disease is currently the most common form of a group of diseases called dementias. Alzheimer's disease accounts for somewhere between 60 and 80% of all dementia cases. And other forms of dementia include vascular dementia, various mixed dementias, dementia with Lewy bodies, and frontal temporal dementia. Alzheimer's disease, like all dementias, gets worse and progresses over time, and there's currently no cure. Nearly 6 million Americans are living with Alzheimer's disease, and it destroys brain cells, causing problems with memory, thinking, and behavior. It can be severe enough or become severe enough to affect work, lifelong hobbies, and social life. Eventually, it can affect one's ability to carry out their daily routines. And today, it's the sixth leading cause of death in the United States and the fifth leading cause of death for those age 65 and older. We know several other things about Alzheimer's disease that I want to talk about because I think these facts are very important as we talk about all types of dementia. People with Alzheimer's disease and related dementias are usually cared for by family members like you or friends. The majority, 80% of the people with Alzheimer's disease and related dementias are cared for in their homes. Think about that. That is a huge number of people. Each year, more than 16 million Americans provide more than 17 billion hours of unpaid care for family. That is a huge, huge number. Friends also contribute to that. In 2019, these caregivers provided 18.5 billion hours of care. Approximately two-thirds of dementia caregivers are women. What's that say about us, ladies? Dementia caregivers, two-thirds of dementia caregivers are women. And that is so true, whether it be daughters or even daughter-in-laws. When I'm dementia coaching or working with families, I am generally working with women because we are the primary caregivers in the family. And 34%, one in three caregivers, is age 65 or older. So listen, ladies, you may not have planned to do this over the age of 65, but these are the statistics that we're seeing in the United States. Approximately one quarter of dementia caregivers are of the sandwich generation, meaning that they're not only caring for aging parent, but also can be caring for children under the age of 18. So these are plans and things that most families haven't thought about, haven't expected. Knowing and understanding how to navigate that dementia journey pathway is going to be very important as we talk about these things on the podcast. Caregivers of people with Alzheimer's and related dementias care for a longer duration than caregivers of people with other conditions. Because certain types of dementias can last a long time, generally people who contract other diseases actually die a lot earlier. So those with ADRD, Alzheimer's disease and related dementias, have a longer duration than other conditions that you would care for a parent or a loved one, 79% versus 66%. That's a large statistic. Well over 57% of family caregivers of people with AD or other dementias provide care for 4 years or more. More than 6 in 10, 63% of Alzheimer's caregivers expect to continue having care responsibilities for the next 5 years, compared to less than half of the caregivers of people without dementia. The demands of caregiving can limit a caregiver's ability to take care of themselves. Family caregivers of people with Alzheimer's disease and related dementias are at a greater risk for anxiety, depression, and a poorer quality of life than caregivers of people with other conditions. So this is why the podcast exists. This is why the field of dementia is always trying to educate families to not only support you, but balance your life. The health factors of the caregiver are often a demise for people who caregive for a long time, because you give up your life and you don't take as good a care of yourself as you might have had you not been a caregiver. So again, I can't urge you enough. Make sure you're getting your yearly checkups. Make sure you're taking care of your own health. Make sure wherever you can, and I know this is difficult, I've said it before, try and find some help somewhere, whether it's volunteers or whether you have the money to hire someone, or comes to the point where they go to an adult daycare or a memory care community. Think about that, because that's going to be really important in the longevity. We don't know how long caregiving is going to last, and goodness knows, and it may not last as long as these numbers are projecting, but certainly those are some pretty telling numbers and something that we all need to think about. We've talked about the journey, and we've talked about having conversations with friends and family, or even getting counseling. We've talked about becoming part of a support group, but let's just go through the stages, because I think that knowing and understanding, educating yourself more about the process and the prognosis is something that is going to be telling, and it's going to help you make decisions along the way. even in my own caregiving journey. And I don't care for my mom full time. She has outside services as well as she goes to an adult daycare. But when I look back and think how long I've managed her care, which is something that even I didn't expect to last over 6 years, it has. That means I have to balance life, and you have to balance other aspects of your life, fitting in doctor's appointments, errands, shopping, work, other family members, all of those things. And those are the things that we want to really look at, because when you start giving up so many things in your life, after a while, it takes a toll on you. And you may be a giving person, you may be a great caregiver, but some personal time is really important. And your work-life balance or your life-family balance, as well as caregiving, it really makes a difference in your own life and your own health and well-being. So something to think about. I was talking the other day on my virtual support group with a family, and we were just really talking about changes in behavior. And we were talking about the long goodbye. So we hear the long goodbye most often associated with Alzheimer's disease. I think that's where we talk about it the most. But obviously, depending on the type of dementia and the prognosis, the long goodbye could last for a while and really could be applicable for any type of dementia. But one of the things a daughter said to me, and I thought it was just a good point, and we talked for a period of time within the group about what that meant. And she said, I knew what the long goodbye was, but I didn't realize it was going to have so many ups and downs. And when I started talking with his daughter more about it, she really said to me, some days I'm really up and some days I'm down. And I had no idea how much I would lose my mom and how many little things about my mom, my best friend, that I would really, really miss. It was just a good time to share that dialogue. And that might be you. That might be you that I'm talking to. And there might be someone else who feels that way, but maybe hasn't really talked about it. And maybe your loved one is in a memory care community or an assisted living or elsewhere, and you may go visit. And maybe you want to have a quality visit and you're not feeling like you know what to say, or you don't know what to do and your visit becomes mundane, or maybe it's not meeting your needs, or you go away just feeling ungratified because you couldn't connect with mom or dad or your spouse. And that's a very common thing that people feel. And so what I'd suggest to you is kind of make a little plan for your visits. And it doesn't need to be every visit, but think about what I want to do, what I want to accomplish. Is it holding a 5-minute conversation? Is it telling a story about how your weekend was, or what your grandchildren are doing, or an old recipe that you prepared, or a movie that you watched? Think about what it is that you want to accomplish. And I think the important thing is that what you need to take out of it and what your loved one or friend needs to take out of it are completely two different things. Generally, they enjoy the visit. There'll come a time when they don't even realize you're there. You're there because it's the right thing to do. Perhaps holding their hand or touching them, engaging in a conversation that brings forth a smile or is humorous. Sharing in general can be really a wonderful way to have a great conversation. And remember this, that the person with dementia is probably not going to remember your last visit. If you find something that really works and it really gets a response from them, just continue to repeat it. Whatever works, whatever causes you to have an enjoyable visit, it's okay if you repeat it. You don't have to come up with new things and do new things. Sometimes just going and sitting, enjoying a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee, just having general conversation. I don't know, maybe take some cookies or pictures, something very, very simple. This is going to be important. I mentioned earlier a website that I've kind of been enjoying, and I'd like you to maybe take a look at it. And that's Us Against Alzheimer's. That particular website allows people to kind of write stories. And I love to tell stories about people with dementia, as well as share stories, because stories keep memories alive and they're relational. That's what we want to be able to do. I'm going to tell you a couple stories probably if I can get through them, and then we'll talk about them because I'd love to talk about your story on the podcast. I'd love to hear about your loved one, about your friend, even about your journey. I think it's just good to talk about it and share thoughts and ideas so that we can relate to one another. Here's a story called Something Wasn't Right with Mom. My journey about learning about Alzheimer's disease began about 10 years ago when Mom started showing signs that something just wasn't quite right. I think all of us, when we look back, there's some telling signs. We probably brushed them off then or didn't pay attention. But now we look back and go, oh, okay. Yeah, there are signs and they come early, even years early from when we actually get a diagnosis. I didn't know anything about this disease. The early signs of Alzheimer's or other forms of dementia start very slowly and gradually. It took me a long time to figure out what was happening to her. A new path for Mom was ahead. It was ahead of her and ahead of her family and her friends. When I was growing up, everyone loved my mom. My mom too. That's absolutely true. She was friendly, outgoing, easy to get along with, and she loved to laugh. There are times that we all tried to figure out what was so funny because she was laughing so hard, sometimes she couldn't even speak. She could make anyone feel good about themselves, even on a bad day. We were always close, and even in my sometimes annoying and moody teen years, we were friends. Anybody have a mother like that? Fast forward to February 13th of 2005, Dad died very suddenly, and the day after his 80th birthday. Mom and Dad enjoyed a wonderful day at the beach. They had gone to Ruby's for lunch and then walked around the Back Bay. Shortly after getting home, Dad had a heart attack and died several hours later. He was 4 days from retiring as a Los Angeles Superior Court judge. We later realized that Dad was covering for her lapses in memory and did not tell us that he was noticing issues. Oh my goodness, ladies and gentlemen, this is so common. When you have people that have been married for a number of years, they really cover for one another. They almost become one. Sometimes it's hard to know when there are memory issues because they just cover, they speak for one another. This is very common, something I see quite frequently. He had nailed a large key hook on the kitchen cabinet. We all thought it was an odd thing that he was planning his retirement because we all knew he loved his job. After Dad died, life went upside down for Mom and for us as a family. At Dad's funeral service, Mom was trying so hard to thank everyone for coming. People that she knew for years and years would come up to her and would say, I know your name, but I'm not sure what it is. My husband and brothers and I would talk, and we would ask each other if grieving would cause memory loss. Makes sense, doesn't it? Certainly. That was it. She was grieving. It wasn't grief. It wasn't part of the grieving process. What was going on? Something wasn't right with Mom. That was the beginning of our journey as a family through Alzheimer's disease. You may be noticing signs of something that isn't quite right with your loved one. I want other people who are concerned to find out about Alzheimer's disease or other forms of dementia more quickly and easily than I did. There wasn't much information available in 2005. It's better now, but there's still a stigma in and around having Alzheimer's. This family is so common, and I imagine that many of you can relate to this story. And something we often say is professional dementia caregivers and professionals in the healthcare field, oftentimes when someone is in a familiar setting with familiar people around them, a secure environment, a place where they've lived for years, you are not able to really see the dynamics of dementia because they are familiar with their surrounding. They're familiar with their spouse or family, and they're not really put in a situation where they have to do anything new. But in this particular case where the spouse was really covering, he was compensating. And isn't that so sweet? I see couples that have been married for 45, 50, and even 60 years that they're just lost without one another. And they compensate without even knowing. So I'm sure that the father never even thought to talk about it with the family. And depending on your parents, who they are as people, and the likelihood that they would ask for help or mention it can really vary family to family. So look for those signs. Watch for overcompensation that your family might have. Because after this husband was gone, I'm sure that the mom was very, very lost. And oftentimes, dementia delays grieving. And some people really are not able to grieve because they cannot process what happened. They cannot process. And if they do, they may forget it tomorrow or next week. Over and over again, they forget that their spouse has passed away. And so this is a very delicate situation. I do not recommend that you constantly remind them of the death of their loved one. It's too much. It's like learning it for the first time over and over. Generally, what I recommend is that you cope with the situation at hand. You deal with the immediate questions they might ask or the immediate feelings that they have. And I think that families are often mystified, maybe even discouraged by the lack of emotion that a remaining spouse may have, especially if they have dementia. And let me just say this, that they're not able to grieve in a normal way like you and I are. There's a grieving process. We all happen to do it a little bit different. Some of us delay our grieving, but people who have dementia may not be able to walk that path at all. And so it's going to take some support, perhaps even some counseling to help them get through this. But please don't be disappointed if they cannot remember that. Perhaps, I don't want to say the benefit of dementia, but one of the things is that they don't always remember all the bad things in life or the heartfelt things in life. And that's not really a bad thing. It's not necessary that they have to be in our reality. I think that the wise choice is to step into their reality and support them where they are. And if that is that they do remember these things, supporting them, but also if they do not remember those things are going to vary from person to person. The next story about people with dementia I want to read to you is called The Realization. It would have been my second trip to the Telluride Film Festival in Colorado, but my mom had never been. So we decided to make my next trip our vacation together. My mom is my best friend, and I look forward to watching her reaction to the quiet main street surrounding all the beautiful mountains. She hadn't been doing so well since she'd had a car accident a few years before. Trouble remembering where she put things, trouble formulating sentences. I told myself that she was just growing older. One evening after dinner, we agreed to meet at a certain spot to attend a movie together. Telluride is a very small town, so it's easy to get around. I showed her how to get to the theater from the main street, just a couple blocks from where we were standing. She went off to collect my jacket from the restaurant where I left it, and I went ahead to the theater to save our place in line. We agreed she would meet and join me in a few minutes. As I waited in line to be led into the theater, 15 minutes, then 30 minutes, no sign of mom. The ushers started letting people in, and I decided to go in and save us a couple seats, thinking that she was just running late. It's now been 45 minutes since we parted on Main Street. I left the theater and walked back to our hotel room. It seemed to me the most logical place for her to be, but she wasn't there. Next, I went to the restaurant where we had had dinner, but she wasn't there either. It was now completely dark outside, and in a near panic, I jogged back to the Main Street. There she stood on the corner where I'd left her over an hour ago. looking lost and frail. I will never forget the feelings that surged through me in that moment of seeing her. Immense relief, anger, guilt, and then sadness. Never before had I seen my mom this way. She was always so strong and so self-confident. Now, as I approached her, she looked at me with frightened, confused eyes. And the first thing I did was yell at her. Why would she worry me like that? Why didn't she just follow directions or ask someone how to get to the theater instead of just standing there? She burst into tears, told me she walked up the way I showed her, but couldn't find the theater and she got confused. Not knowing what else to do, she just stood on the corner, getting more and more anxious as time ticked by. I put my arms around her as she cried and told her it was okay. I didn't mean to yell at her. I was just worried, much like a mother worries when her children don't come home on time. We walked back to our room, and the very beauty of the place surrounded us. The looming blackness of the mountains. It was nearly time to go back home to Akron. We talked about how the trees would be changing. Perhaps this too was just another cycle in the change in our lives. A mother raises her daughter. A daughter becomes a parent to her mother. As we walked down the quiet street, I could sense the sadness in her. I looped my arms through hers. Someday we'll look back on this and laugh, she said. We'll be laughing by tomorrow, Mom, I said as I kissed her. A year later, my mother learned she had Alzheimer's disease. These stories are just amazing. They're just heartfelt. And I know that all of you out there have felt something similar to this. You don't believe it, you don't see it, and all of a sudden it's there. Whether your loved one is like mine and has very little safety awareness, and you remind them over and over again, but they just don't seem to be able to follow the directions. It's dementia. We're dealing with dementia. And so as heartfelt as this is, we have to keep front and center that dementia is a disease. A number of dementia diseases are those that we are faced with. And one of the things that we will constantly see is a decline in the ability to not only remember, but to process and follow directions. So if you're seeing any signs at all, please don't hesitate to reach out to your healthcare provider, try and get a diagnosis, put together some kind of plan, educate yourself, begin to talk about what you're seeing and what you're going to put together to try and avoid these type of issues. And I just want to remind you, you're not alone. Your stories are important. They're important to me. They're important to others who are going through similar things that you're going through. And until next time, this is Dawn Platt. Make it a memorable day.
Thank you for joining us for the Disappearing Mind podcast. We hope it's helped you find clarity and support along your journey. Be sure to subscribe to never miss an episode. Visit our website to suggest future topics and share the podcast with friends and family.